Thank God for Jesus, amen. Oh, Genesis chapter number 35. I'm going to get into my message. I'm not going to let that change my direction this morning, but I tell you, something right there ought to just stir on the inside. Amen. I know we all don't act out the same way, but there ought to be a spark going on the inside. I was telling our young people at the youth retreat this weekend, I'm going to tell you, I'm afraid some people, they walk into a store or they at work and they hear that music, the songs of the fool is what the Bible calls it. They hear that music of the world and man, something gets to stirring on the inside. I'll tell you, I'll be honest, I hear that music, something might get to stirring, but it ain't on the inside. Maybe something will stir on the outside. But on the inside, when I hear music like that, something just sparks with heaven. And I mean, it just stirs something in my soul. I thank God for the things of God, for the songs of Zion, for, you know, just the Holy Ghost that lives inside of us. Aren't you glad to be a Christian this morning? Amen. I'm glad to be a Christian. I'm glad my sins are forgiven. I'm glad my name is written in heaven. I'm glad the blood has been applied to my life. I am so thankful this morning to be a child of God. Amen. I am thankful to be a Christian this morning. Genesis chapter number 35. I'm trying to get in my message, Pastor. Genesis 35, God's been stirring in my heart, man. We had a great youth retreat this weekend. Our young people, I'm telling you, God showed up with us. Friday night, we had a great service. God met with us. Saturday morning, God met with us. Just a great spirit. And God did something in my heart. I want to preach about that this morning. I want to challenge you. My prayer this morning is that God would do something real in somebody's heart. I told our young people over the weekend, I am so not wanting to just go to church. I am so sick and tired of just going through the motions. God, deliver me from that kind of Christianity. In a world where people are literally, as we speak this morning, being persecuted for their faith, in a world where there's people that are willing to lay it all on the line, willing to die for the cause of Christ, God, help me not to just come to church and go through the motions and play religion. God, deliver me from that. I want to preach to you this morning on the thought out of Genesis chapter 35. Many of you know I've been preaching through Genesis with our teenagers on Wednesday nights, and this is where I was at. I preached this past Wednesday night on chapter 34 about Dinah and her defilement, and we looked in the Wednesday night in here 2 weeks before about what led to that defilement, some dangers that lead to defilement, and chapter 35 was next, and I was planning to preach this Wednesday night to our teenagers, but as I began to pray and as I began to think about this Lord's Day and Youth Sunday, I just know that I know God led me to Genesis chapter 35 to preach this morning on this subject, on this thought, back to Bethel. Back to Bethel. I want to go back to Bethel. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother David? I don't mean I want to go back to where I got saved. For those of you that don't know, I got saved. I didn't get saved at Bethel, but I walked into a church called Bethel Baptist Church on a Sunday night, October the 16th, 2005, and I heard our pastor preach the Word of God. The Holy Ghost of God got a hold of my heart, and I got under Holy Ghost conviction. Brother Calvin came by my house that night, took me, picked me up, drove me up the road. We sit in a pick and pack parking lot in Quinque over near Ryan's funeral home. He took the Bible. He showed me I was a sinner. He showed me that Jesus died for me. He showed me that I could be saved, and I got born again. So I'm not talking about Bethel Baptist Church, but I am talking about going back to Bethel. And I want to talk about that this morning. I want us to look at Genesis chapter 35 and look at this incident in Jacob's life where Jacob went back to Bethel. One of the most famous chapters in all the Bible about this man named Jacob. Jacob went back to Bethel. And I want to preach on that subject this morning. There may be somebody that walked into this building this morning and they need to get back to Bethel. I believe probably in a room this size with this many people and with the desire God put in my heart to preach this message, I feel very confident there's more than one person here this morning that needs to get back to Bethel. You say, what is Bethel, Brother David? I want to look at that this morning. Genesis chapter number 35, Wyatt read the verses in your hearing here. And God says in verse number 1, the Bible says, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. You say, what is Bethel? Well, the first thing I want to talk about, I'm going to get into what Bethel is here in a minute, but the first thing I see in this verse of Scripture is this, a reminder. a reminder. Can I tell you this morning, I am so thankful for the reminders that God puts in my life. I don't know about you, but I need some reminders every now and then. I'm not real tech savvy, and so I haven't quite figured out, maybe after the service somebody could show me how to put that reminder on my cell phone. I'm not really sure how to do that. I don't know how to set my phone up. You probably think about that. That's about as simple as it gets. Texting, giving yourself a reminder, right? But I don't know how to remind myself with my cell phone, but I'm finding more and more I've got to write notes. I've got to do something to remind myself of some things. But I sure am glad that there's a God in heaven, that when I began to get away from God and I began to get backslid on God and I began to get in the place where I don't need to be, I'm glad God will come and remind me of some things. You see, that's what's happening here in Genesis chapter 35. Jacob is getting a reminder. Jacob, I believe, had gotten away from God. You see, Jacob, we know the story of Jacob. Jacob had cheated his brother Esau out of the birthright and out of the blessing. And Jacob's mom said, Jacob, you've got to leave home. You've got to go to where I came from. Go to my brother Laban's house and find you a wife and get away, because Esau's going to kill you. And so Jacob left home. And as he left home, Jacob came to this place, Bethel. We'll see it here in a minute. God showed up at Bethel. Jacob had an encounter with God at Bethel. And God spoke to Jacob, and Jacob spoke to God. And then Jacob left from Bethel, and he went down to Padan Aram, and he went down to Laban's house. And Jacob spent, I believe, somewhere around 21 years there in Padan Aram. And then God came to Jacob and said, Jacob, it's time to go back home. Jacob, I want you to go back to Bethel, right? So Jacob gets up, and Jacob leaves, and he starts his journey back to Bethel. And Jacob realizes that in order to do this, he's going to have to come in face-to-face with his brother Esau, who he's been running from for a long time. And so Jacob comes face to face with Esau. We looked at that on a Wednesday night, I don't know, a month or two ago. And Jacob comes face to face with Esau. But then before Jacob comes face to face with Esau, Jacob comes face to face with himself. There at Peniel, God shows Jacob himself. Jacob wrestles with God, the Bible says. And the Bible says that God changes Jacob's name to Israel. It means a prince with God. And so Jacob leaves from Peniel, and he's walking different. The Bible says that Jacob walked with a halt. You know, he had a different walk about him when he left Peniel. But then the Bible says Jacob went, and he confronted Esau. And we looked at that the other week. And when Jacob left Esau, Jacob was supposed to continue to make his way back to Bethel. But what Jacob done was he stopped in a place called Succoth. I'm just giving a little review here. And while Jacob is at Succoth, the Bible says that Jacob pitched his tent towards Shechem. And we talked about the danger of that. Jacob was supposed to be heading to Bethel, but Jacob stopped at Shechem, and he looked down towards Shechem, kind of like Lot did when he was looking towards Sodom. And the Bible says that Jacob dwelt there. And we looked at that, and what happened in Genesis chapter number 34, for those of you that were not there, because Jacob stopped in this place called Shechem, if you look back in Genesis chapter number 34, the Bible says, and Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. Because Jacob stopped, and he had his tent looking towards Shechem, which is the type of the world. It's not where Jacob's supposed to be living. And because Jacob is dwelling where he's not supposed to be, and he's got his tent pointing in the wrong direction, his daughter, it says, went out to see what was going on with the daughters of the land. And the Bible says, Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hevite, prince of the country, saw her, and he took her, and he lay with her. And look at it. It says he defiled her. Jacob's daughter got defiled. As a father with daughters, I tell you, I can't imagine the heartbreak that Jacob was going through. His daughter, it says, was took and defiled. And not only was Jacob's daughter defiled, but if you read down, Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, her brothers, they got upset about it. And look at verse number 26. It says in verse 26 of chapter 34, it says, and they slew Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the city and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. They took the sheep and their oxen and their asses and that which was in the city and that which was in the field, and all their wealth and all their little ones and all their wives took they captive and spoiled even all that was in the house. You see, because Jacob didn't go back to Bethel, but he stuck around in Shechem, his daughter was defiled. His sons went out and murdered people and stole their stuff and spoiled the city. And then in verse 30, it says, and Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. You say, Brother David, why did you read all that? Because I want you to get the picture of where Jacob's at. I want all of us to get where Jacob is at right now. Yes, I believe Jacob is a man that knows God. He met God at Bethel. There's different positions about when Jacob truly got saved or met God, or however you want to put it in that Old Testament passage. But I personally believe that at Bethel, in chapter 28, we'll see it here in a minute, I believe that was Jacob's personal one-on-one altercation or encounter with God. Jacob met God at Bethel. And then Jacob wrestled with God at Peniel. But you see, Jacob had gotten to a place where he had gotten away from God. You read through chapter 34, you will not read one mention of God. You know, some people believe that Jacob was in Succoth 6-7 years. I read after one man that believes and makes a strong argument for it, that Jacob may have been in Succoth or Shechem for 10 years. So from Peniel to chapter 35, we may be talking about 10 years here. I don't know. I tell you, if it was 2 weeks, it's too long. His daughter's defiled. His sons have murdered people. His name, his testimony's been ruined in the land. He's got a bad reputation amongst the people. If it had been 2 weeks, it was too long. But it may have been 10 years. And God comes to Jacob. I'm so thankful for Genesis chapter 35. I'm going to tell you right now, I probably, if I had enough time, I could just stop and preach on Genesis chapter 35, verse number 1, the first two words, and God. And God. Aren't you glad for the and gods in your life? I know you're not as up to speed on this thing as I am. I've been dwelling on this for a couple weeks now. I just spent some time last night and this morning in this passage of scripture. And I'm going to tell you, when I was studying, when I was reading, and when I come across those two words right there that said, and God, I thought, oh, thank God for the reminders in my life. I'm so glad for the times in my life where it says, and God, and God. And God. You see, if God left us to ourselves, we'd be in a mess. We'd be where Jacob was down in Shechem with our lives and our testimonies a wreck and our family defiled. But I thank God that even in our sin, every now and then the Holy Ghost of God will come along and we'll have an and God moment. Amen. Thank God for the and God moments in your life. See, that's what's happening here. Jacob's having an and God moment in his life. I hope today, I pray today, I mean, I've been begging God today that this would be an and God for somebody. I didn't come to church just to preach a message. No, I come to church to see a change. I hope somebody has an and God moment today. I want to have an and God moment in my life. Jacob is just going through life, and I'm sure we got to read in between the lines here in chapter 34, but I can't imagine where Jacob sat, discouraged, downcast. I mean, Jacob's in a bad place, and maybe you walked into church this morning. Maybe it's a young person. Maybe it's an adult. I don't know. Maybe you walked into church this morning, and you got a smile on your face, and you might be dressed real sharp, but in your soul, you're downcast, and you're depressed, and you're despondent, and you feel like his daughter, Dinah, you've been defiled, and you just don't know what you're going to do. Can I tell you, today could be an and God moment for you. And God. And God showed up in Jacob's life. The Bible says, and God said unto Jacob. It's a reminder. There's no doubt in my mind when God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel. No doubt in my mind, Jacob's mind went back in time. When he heard those words, Bethel. Are you with me? When Jacob heard God say Bethel, I can only imagine his mind, the reminders that came in Jacob's mind. You say, what is Bethel, Brother David? Well, we know Bethel is the place of the house of God. That's what the word means, the house of God. But I believe it's bigger than that. It's the place where Jacob met God. Jacob met God at Bethel. Go to chapter 28. Chapter 28. Say, what is Bethel, Brother David? It's a reminder. I think God in verse number 1 is reminding Jacob of some things. You say, what's he reminding of? Well, first, I think God is reminding Jacob of a place. Look in chapter 28. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says this, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took the stones of that. You with me? What's it say? Place. And put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And verse number 16 says this. In verse number 16 it says, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely, look at it, the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Look at verse number 17. The Bible says, and he was afraid, and he said, how dreadful. I mean, an exclamation point. How dreadful is this place? Look at verse number 19. The Bible says in verse number 19, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. You say, so when Jacob heard God say something about arise, go to Bethel, there's not a doubt in my mind Jacob thought of a place. You've seen it. That place. A certain place. A terrible place. That means it's an awesome place. Jacob's mind went back to that place. I got ahead of myself a little bit a minute ago after that song, but this past week, Dr. Thompson, I went by and sat down with Dr. Thompson for a little bit, and we sat in his office, and Dr. Thompson said, Brother David, will you give me your testimony? And me and Dr. Thompson, sitting in his office, went to a place. And as I sat there and told Dr. Thompson about that place, I just broke down, Pastor. I just wept the entire time. A couple times I had to stop. Dr. Thompson just sat there and looked at me. Oh, wise man of God, sitting there just watching me. And I was just weeping. Because the Holy Ghost of God in my soul was taking me back to a place. That parking lot that I talked about, that Forerunner that Calvin was driving, that night in October when God changed my life, in my mind, in my heart, when Dr. Thompson, that man of God, asked me, give me your testimony, I went to a place. Can you go to a place? This morning, can you go to a place? Can the Holy Ghost of God take you to a place where you met God? See why that was a terrible place? Why that was a certain place, why that was such a great place is because that is the place where I believe Jacob met God. If you read through the life of Jacob, you're not going to see one instance in the earlier pages of Genesis where Jacob was one-on-one with God. Maybe Isaac was one-on-one with God. Maybe Jacob's mom was one-on-one with God. But I can't find one instance where Jacob was one-on-one with God. But in Genesis chapter 28, Jacob came to Bethel, and in that place, he met God. And as God said, Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel. There's not a doubt in my mind. There's not a doubt in my mind. When Jacob heard that word Bethel, it was like me hearing that date, October the 16th. I say the word Bethel when I think about it. Because that's where it happened for me. They sung about it. That's where I got saved. A place. Jacob thought about a place when God said, Jacob, go, arise, go to Bethel. No doubt he thought about a place. I wonder if you have a place. But not only that, I believe Jacob thought about his past. You see, verse number 1, it goes back to Genesis. Go back to Genesis 35 real quick. Verse number 1, God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God. And look at it, that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. You say, why did you emphasize those words, Brother David? Because it's past tense. When thou fleddest. You see, I believe that when God said, Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, Jacob's mind, he was reminded of a place. But not only that, I believe Jacob was reminded of his past. God said, Jacob, remember? Do you remember? Can I ask you this morning, do you remember? Do you remember where God found you? God said, Jacob, you remember where I found you at? You were running from your brother, Jacob. You were a deceiver, Jacob. You were a liar, Jacob. You were a worm, Jacob. You lied to your daddy. You schemed out your brother. You stole the birthright. You stole the blessing. You were on the run. You were a fugitive from your family is where I found you, Jacob. I believe God was saying to Jacob, Jacob, hey, when he said, arise, go to Bethel, I believe God was reminding Jacob of a place, Bethel, but he was also reminding Jacob of his past. He was saying, Jacob, don't you ever forget where I found you. And as I was studying this, I just had to really think, God, Pastor, where did God find me at? I don't ever want to forget where God found me. Now, I don't want to live where God found me. I'm not talking about living in the past, but I'm talking about not forgetting the past. I don't want to forget about that loneliness. I don't want to forget about that hopelessness. I don't want to forget about those chains and that bondage and that lifestyle and that depression and that despondence and that despair. I don't want to forget where God found me. See, maybe God didn't find you the same place he found me. I'm just telling you, I don't know. I just know when I hear things like that singing that was sung this morning, and when I hear preaching, I'll tell you what it does. It does something on the inside, and I believe one of the reasons is I have not forgot where God found me. Amen. And I believe God is reminding Jacob, Jacob, don't forget about your past. Don't forget where I found you. Don't you forget what I've done for you. I'm telling you, we're living in 2021, and I believe some Christians have forgotten about the goodness of God in their life. They've forgotten where God found them. We're such a blessed country, and we have so much stuff, and we have so many things, and we have so much comfort. I believe we have forgotten the hopelessness and the bondage of sin and a life without God. And God this morning, I hope, will remind somebody. I hope God will remind somebody of a place where they got saved, where they met God. But I hope God will remind somebody of their past, where God found them, the mess that they were in. You say, well, Brother David, I've grown up in church my entire life. I didn't live the kind of life you live. Can I tell you, you were still bound for a devil's hell. If God would have left you where you were, you would have died and spent an eternity without God in hell. And God in his mercy came to you and he saved you, and you ought to praise him for it. And it ain't always about where God found us at. It's about what God's done for us. You say, well, I don't have a bad past. Well, then you ought to think about that good past. You ought to think about those good parents. You ought to think about that good Sunday school class. You ought to think about that good time that you've had growing up with a mom and dad that love you and that are there for you and that provide for you and that good life that you've had. Think about that past. You say, I can't think about a past of drugs. I can't think about a past of alcohol. I can't think about a past of bondage. Well, then you ought to think about that blessed past that you've had since you've been alive, because the goodness of God showed up in your family and your mom and dad were saved by the grace of God, and you've grown up in a good home with loving parents and a good church. You ought to think about your past. That past right there ought to motivate somebody to serve God. Sometimes we put way too much emphasis on that sinful past. I'm going to tell you right now, if you've never known the bondage of sin, if you've never known the bondage of addiction, if you've never had to live with the heartache of a broken home, and you've never had to go through some of the things that some people's went through, hey, that right there in itself ought to motivate you to serve God, because he has been so, so good to you. There's some young people in this building this morning. I just pray to God that you would get a hold of the goodness of God in your life, what he's done for you. He didn't save you from that stuff. He saved you out of that stuff. Amen. Or he didn't save you out of that stuff. He saved you from that stuff, let me say. Amen. See, I got saved out of that stuff. You got saved from that stuff, and you ought to praise God for it. Because you don't have to carry the scars I carry. See, God's reminding Jacob of his past. He's reminding Jacob of a place. He's reminding Jacob, I believe, of a promise. Go back to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. Look at verse number 20. The Bible says, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me. Some people think that Jacob is making a deal with God. If God will, I will. Others think that Jacob is saying, if as in since, if ye be risen with Christ, since ye be risen with Christ. I don't know, but either way, I know Jacob made a promise. He vowed a vow. He said, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother David? I believe Jacob was being reminded of a promise. Jacob made a promise to God. Jacob vowed a vow to God. Jacob said, God, if you'll take care of me, if you'll provide for me, if you'll meet my needs, if you'll bring me back to this place, God, I will serve you. I will live for you. I will do what you said do. He made a promise, and there is not a doubt in my mind. When God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, Jacob thought about a place. Jacob thought about his past when he fled from Esau, his brother. But I'm sure Jacob had to think about that promise. You with me? Jacob thought, oh no. I remember what happened to Bethel. I made a promise to God. And here I am, maybe 30 years later, I don't know. Been a long time. And God said, Jacob, go to Bethel. I know Jacob thought, you brought me back, God. You took care of me. When I was down in Laban's house, you provided for me. You've given me a family. You've given me cattle. You've given me strength. You brought me back. He's in Canaan's land now. When God spoke to him. He's not at Bethel, but he's in Canaan's land. You brought me back where you said you were going to bring me back to. I made a promise to you, God. And I believe God was reminding Jacob of that promise. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning. You made a promise to God. Maybe it was at a youth camp. And I'm not just talking to the young people here. See, there might be some adults that 30 years ago, like Jacob, made a promise, made a vow. God, if you'll give me this baby, I'll get it in church. Yeah. God, if you'll get my family through this situation, we'll serve you. God, if you'll just give me this job. God, if you just let me get this job, I promise, God, if you give me this job, I'll serve you. I'll go to church. I'll give. I'll do what you want me to do, God. If you just give me this job, if you just give me this family, God, if you just meet this need, God, if you'll use me, God, I'll preach, God. I'll teach a Sunday school class, God. I'll run a bus route, God. If you'll just do something in my life, God, I promise I'll do something for you. There's not a doubt in my mind. There's some folks in this building this morning. I'm not just talking about young people, though I am talking about some young people that maybe made a promise at camp or at youth conference, or maybe even just yesterday or Friday, you went to an altar and you made a promise to God that you were going to follow Jesus. You were going to live a crucified life. You were going to die to yourself. And already, 24 hours later, you're starting to go back on that promise. And I want to say today, hey, if you've made a vow to God, if you've made a promise to God, hey, today, go back to Bethel. Go back to Bethel. You don't have to stay where you are. Jacob spent 30 years in Shechem. And God said, Jacob, get back to Bethel. Maybe somebody, it was as a teenager. You're in your 40s, 50s, 60s now. And as a teenager, you can take me to a place where you made a vow before God. God, I'll serve you. God, I'll do this. God, I'll do that. And here we are 30, 40 years later. And there's this preacher standing up here saying, hey, get back to Bethel. Get back to Bethel. Don't forget the promise. Don't forget the past. Don't forget that place. That's what God's saying to Jacob. It's a reminder. Number two, I want to see the response. Look in chapter 35, verse number 2. You know, when God speaks, it's good to respond. God said in verse number 1, look how verse 2 starts. Then Jacob said, that's a good way to respond. God said, Jacob said. I want to look at the response. So we saw the reminder. I want to look at the response. God spoke and then Jacob spoke. You know, I don't see any delay here when God spoke. I'm not saying it's not there, but I personally don't believe that it is. I believe it's instantaneous. I believe God spoke to Jacob. He said, Jacob, arise, go to Bethel. And immediately Jacob in his mind, he went to a place, he remembered his past, he thought about that promise that he had made, that vow before God, and I believe immediately Jacob responded. It was an immediate response. Can I tell you, that's what God's looking for? Immediate responses. Amen. Today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Today, hearken your voices. See, tomorrow is the devil's word. Tomorrow, that's what Pharaoh said. He said, tomorrow. He said, one more night with the frogs. Tomorrow, can I tell you, sometimes tomorrow never comes. God's word's today. God spoke to Jacob, and I believe Jacob had learned from the situations in his life. I believe Jacob realized, man, when God speaks, I need to respond. I can't tell you the times I've sat in a service and with young people or adults, and I've preached and I've seen God move, and pastors seen it way more than I have. And you can see the Spirit of God stirring on the inside. You can see God doing a work in somebody's life. And you know what happens? They don't respond immediately, and it goes away. See, this thing of serving God and this thing of being saved and this thing of being surrendered, it ain't on our terms. It's on God's. There's a bill of goods being sold in our society today that, oh, when I'm ready, then I'll get saved. No, you won't. You'll get saved when the Holy Ghost of God convicts you of your sin and calls you and you respond, or you won't get saved at all. And the same with service. And I'm telling you, when God speaks to our hearts and God moves in our lives, the right response is immediate obedience. Jacob responded immediately. And if God speaks to somebody's heart here today, don't go home thinking, well, I might get right tonight. I might get right next week. I might get right at this time. No, if God speaks to your heart, get right today. Immediate. Jacob responded immediately. Not only was his response immediate, but I believe this, his response was intentional. Look in chapter 35. It says, then Jacob said unto his house and all that were with him, he said, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God. Verse 5 says, and they journeyed. Verse 6 says, and so Jacob came to Luz, the land of Canaan, and verse 7 says, and he built an altar there. He built there an altar to God. You see, everything Jacob did after God spoke to him was intentional. It's not going to happen by accident. He said, put away, be clean, change, arise, I will, he built. They're all words of intention. You say, what is intention? Intention means it's on purpose. Those of you that like playing basketball, they call it an intentional foul. You say, what is that? It's when you do it on purpose. When that guy gets out on a fast break and you know you can't catch him, so you foul him. Intentional. You did it on purpose. Can I tell you, everything Jacob did when he responded to God here was intentional. We're not going to accidentally obey God. It's going to have to happen on purpose. If you're going to get right with God today, listen to me, brethren. I'm telling you, the devil's trying to rock some folks to sleep this morning. There's some folks living so far from Bethel in this building this morning, and it's not just young people. It's not just teenagers. There's old folks in this building this evening or this morning. There's some folks maybe teaching a Sunday school class or running a bus route or faithful in church, and I'm telling you this morning, you are far away from Bethel. You're down in Shechem, and God is trying to tell you to wake up and get right, and it's not going to happen on accident. It's going to be intentional. You're going to have to choose to do these things. Jacob chose. He said, put away. Get rid of that stuff. Let's bring it up today. Erase that app. Right? Cancel Netflix. Y'all bear with me, brother Eric. I try so hard to be a nice guy. I'm serious. Y'all don't know the struggle that I have between me and me. You know, Jacob came face to himself with self at Peniel, Brother Brandon. I come face to face with myself all the time. I said, Brother David, don't be like that, man. People don't want to hear that. I'm not preaching down to nobody. What I'm trying to do is encourage somebody, because I'm telling you, the enemy is real. And this junk is not a game. I'm so sick of the people thinking that Christianity is a game. I told our young people at the youth retreat this weekend, it's not Xbox, it's not PlayStation, it's not an app on your phone, it's not Disney, it's not Netflix, it's reality. It's real. And if we don't get real with God, and if we don't intentionally get rid of some junk out of our lives, throw that alcohol out, crush them cigarettes, turn off that app, throw out that television. I don't know what it is, but whatever is between you and God, Jacob said, hey, we need to put it away from us. Those idols in our lives, those things that are between us and God, Jacob said, get rid of them. Get rid of them. David Oliver, get rid of those things. It's not you. You know why I'm preaching so hard this morning? Why I've got so much passion in my soul? Because there's some things in my life that I need to intentionally get rid of. Because I want to live in Bethel. I don't want to live in Shechem. I don't want to live in Succoth. No, I want to live in Bethel. I want to be close to God. I want to be at the house of God. I want to know the presence of God. And God is telling Jacob, Jacob, if you're going to serve me, you have to get back to Bethel. And Jacob said, hey, I'm going immediately. Jacob said to his family, get up, put away some things, arise, put them off. Jacob began to build. Jacob began to do something for God. And it was on purpose. I'm telling you, you're not going to accidentally start serving God. I'm afraid some people think, well, I'm just going to keep going to church, and I'm just going to keep going to Sunday school. I'm just going to keep giving to missions. I'm just keep doing what I'm doing, and something's going to change. It's not. It's not. That's insanity. To do the same thing over and over and over again and expect different results is the definition of insanity. Can I tell you, brethren, wake up this morning. Some of us need to wake up and look in the mirror and realize what I'm doing is not working. What I'm doing is not working. And I'm going to have to get intentional about this thing. Jacob said he put away some things. Look at verse number 2. Jacob said to his household, all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you. Be clean. Change your garments. You say, why did Jacob say that? Well, I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail here this morning. But I'll tell you this. Jacob said, we're getting ready to go to the house of God. We need to clean up. Now, I know I believe Jacob's talking about, I think the Bible, we ought to clean up inwardly. But I think Jacob's actually talking about outwardly. Jacob said, hey, guys, we're getting ready to go back to Bethel, to the house of God, and we've been living down here in Shechem, and we smell like the Shechemites, and we look like the Shechemites, and we're acting like the Shechemites, and it's time to go back to Bethel. And so what we're going to do is we're going to throw away those strange gods that we picked up down there at Laban's house, and those strange gods that we've picked up down in Shechem. We're going to bury those things. We're going to clean ourselves up, and we're going to change our garments. We're going to stop dressing like the Shechemites. We're going to stop looking like the Shechemites, and we're going to the house of God. And I'm telling you, God, Jacob did this intentionally. There's no reverence for the house of God anymore in our day. I believe in come as you are. We sang it, just as I am. Thank God Jesus will take you just as you are, but can I tell you, he won't leave you there. He'll clean you up. He'll change your garments. He'll change your life. He told his family, hey, let's do this. It's intentional. He said, change your garments, clean up, arise. Let's go up to Bethel. We'll do something for God. He built an altar. We'll make it on purpose. I'm going to serve God. So we see the response. It was immediate. It was intentional. Number three, I really like this one. It was inclusive. Look at verse number 3. Well, verse 2, then Jacob said unto his whole household. His household. I like that. Into all that were with him. He said it to his house and all that were with him. His servants, I believe those people that they took from Shechem when his son slayed the people of Shechem. It says they took their wives and their children. So Jacob's got the people that they took from Shechem, the wives and the children. He's got his family, their wives and their children, the servants that he got when he was raising cattle down in Paddan Aram. And you know what Jacob said? Jacob said, hey guys, we're all getting ready to go to Bethel. So everybody, my household and all that are with me, hey, get up, get cleaned up, get rid of your strength. Change gods, change your garments, we're going to Bethel. I mean, plural, over and over. Verse 3, he says, and let us arise. Verse 4, and they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods that were in their hand and all their earrings. And verse 5, and they journeyed. Verse 6, it says, Jacob came to Luz, which is the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. You see, so Jacob's response, not only was it immediate, not only was it intentional, but Jacob's response was inclusive. I really like this one. Jacob's response affected everybody around him. I tried to challenge our young people this
this weekend.
Well, Brother Shakur done it. I just followed up on him. About provoking, Hebrews chapter 10, let us provoke one another. Let us consider one another and provoke unto love and good works. And he talked about the importance of, instead of provoking one another in a bad way, why don't we provoke one another in a good way? And I tell you, I tried to challenge our young people, if just one young person would decide, you know what, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to get real with God. I'm going to live a crucified life. I'm going to surrender to God. It's no telling how many other young people would follow him. But let's take it up to our level. If just one dad this morning, would say, you know what? I'm going back to Bethel. I'm going back to Bethel. I remember that place. I remember my past. I remember a promise I made to God. And you know what? This morning, by the grace of God, I'm going to arise and I'm going back to Bethel. It's hard to tell. Your family will probably follow you, sir. If just one person in this church would really get a hold of God and say, I'm going to go and live in Bethel. I am going to get on fire for God. It's no telling what it might do to this church. Amen. If this church would just decide as a whole, we are going to sell out and be surrendered and live for God. We're going to be in Bethel. You know what? It's no telling what it'd do to this community. It spread like wildfire. Jacob's response, it was immediate. It was intentional. But can I tell you, Jacob's response was inclusive. Others got involved. I'm just convinced. I want to be so on fire for God that somehow one of those flames fly off and catch hold on one of my children. Amen. And set them on fire. Amen. And their fire will catch out and set one of their siblings on fire. Somebody in this youth group will get set on fire. Somebody in this church will get set on fire. And before we know it, this place could be a flaming fire for God. Amen. Our community, our country needs it, brethren. You know why our country's in the mess? I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning, but the reason our country is in a mess is because churches have lost their fire. There's no fire in the church no more. There was a day when this church, this country, pulpits and people and pews all across this country were on fire for God. And that fire burned across America and it changed the world. And we've lost our fire. We need to get back to Bethel. Amen. We've got to respond. Jacob responded. So we see his response. And then last, let me finish. We see the renewal, or I want to say this, the reviving. Jacob, I believe, had revival. Look in Genesis chapter number 35. The Bible says in verse 7, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. See, I believe Jacob had a revival here at Bethel. He was reminded, Jacob, go back to Bethel. He responded properly, cleansed his family, cleansed his life, went up there, did what God said do, built an altar, and now Jacob is having revival. I believe he had a revival of communion with God. You say, what does El Bethel mean? It means the God of the house of God. Jacob said, this is beyond a place. This ain't about a church. This is about God. Jacob had a, you know, that's when we really have revival. When it just gets all about God. I don't want my preaching. I don't want my teaching. I don't want my youth work. I don't want my ministry. Anything I do, man, I just want it to be about God. And I believe you do too. But that's revival, when it's not about us. It's not about who gets the glory. It's not about who gets a pat on the back. It's not about who gets the recognition. No, it's about God. Jacob had a revival with God. He said, this is not the house of God. This is the God of the house of God. He revived his communion with God. Look at verse 9. It says, and God appeared unto Jacob. Look at it again. Oh my goodness, aren't you glad for that little word there? God appeared to Jacob again. Makes me think of Jonah when he was told to go down to Nineveh, and Jonah went the other way, and he went to Tarshish, and the Bible says the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. I think about Peter when he cursed God, and he stood around that fire and he denied the Lord, and the Bible says he went out and he wept bitterly. And then on John chapter number 21, Jesus stepped out on the seashore and Jesus said, "Hey children, have you any meat?" You know what happened? He came to Peter again. Samson, when he lost his power, the Bible says that he wist not that the Spirit had departed from him. He lost his power. He lost the presence of God. But then at the end of his life, Samson prayed and said, "God, would you just touch me one more time?" And you know what happened? He touched him again. Can I tell you this morning, you can have that Bethel experience again. I can have that Bethel experience again. God wants us to come back to Bethel again. The Bible says God appeared unto Jacob again. Jacob had a revival of his communion with God. In verse number 10, the Bible says, and God said unto him, he said, God spoke to him. Verse 11, God said unto him. You see, God is speaking to Jacob again. There may be somebody here this morning and you say, "I haven't heard the voice of God in so long." Can I tell you, God is wanting to speak to you again. One day without hearing the voice of God is too long. I'm preaching from experience this morning. Oh man, I've been through those times in my Christian life where I just feel like the walls are brass and I feel like I can't get a prayer through and I feel like I'm just so far from God. But can I tell you, when you have that breakthrough, when you go back to Bethel, when you hear that sweet voice again, it's such a sweet thing to have a revival of communion with God where you can hear from God and God can hear from you and there's that communion again. No doubt, Jacob, chapter 34, not one mention of God, brethren. Not one mention of God in chapter 34. I don't know how long that was. Personally, I believe it was years that Jacob went down there in Shechem and he never heard the voice of God. But all of a sudden, here he is at Bethel and God speaks to him again. He's having revival. He's communing with God. I believe it was a revival of his communion with God. I believe also this. It was a revival of his covenant with God. Look at verse 10. It says, "And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel." Verse 11, "And God said unto him, I am God Almighty." That means El Shaddai. He said, "I'm God Almighty." He said, "Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land." You say, what is that? I'll tell you this. If you go back to Genesis chapter 28, when Jacob was at Bethel and he saw Jacob's ladder and there was a dream and God spoke to Jacob, the angel of the Lord spoke to Jacob, he almost told him the exact same thing. "Jacob, I'm going to make a great nation of you. I'm going to prosper you, Jacob. I'm going to protect you, Jacob. I'm going to give you peace, Jacob. I'm going to provide for you, Jacob. I'm going to make a great people of you, Jacob." That's what God told Jacob back at Bethel in Genesis chapter number 28. And now here at Genesis chapter number 35, Jacob come back to Bethel and God says, "Jacob, I haven't forgot my covenant. You made a promise to me, Jacob, and I've been waiting for you to do what you said you was going to do. And now that you're doing what you said you was going to do, Jacob, I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. I'm going to protect you." You know what that means? That means draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. God says, "Hey, I made a covenant with you, Jacob. I'll take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to give you my presence. I'm going to make a great people of you. I'm going to prosper you. And I'm going to do what I said I was going to do." God renewed his covenant with Jacob, and I believe there was a revival here. God's no respecter of persons, brethren. See, there's somebody here this morning. I'm just sure of it. And I'm done. 2 minutes. I shouldn't say that. Never mind. I lied. Don't believe that for 1 minute. I might be. But listen, I said I didn't want to lie last Wednesday night, right? Not even a little lie. But somebody said if you're preaching, it's not a lie. No, I'm just joking. That is bad. That's even worse, right? Goodness gracious. I don't even know what I was talking about now. That's terrible. Amen. Jacob made a covenant with God, right? And so we see Jacob made a covenant with God, and he's having a revival of his covenant with God. God made a promise to Jacob, and Jacob is keeping his promise, and God said, I'm gonna do something for you. And this is what I was gonna say. There may be somebody here that feels like they're in Genesis 34. There may be somebody here that feels like I'm in Genesis 34. I haven't heard from God for a long time. I feel like my life is messed up. My family's defiled. My reputation, my testimony's defiled. I don't know. Maybe that's the way you feel. Can I tell you, you can have a revival and God will restore everything to you. Now, obviously, I know sin has consequences. But God is not, you messed up, never again. I'm not going to bless you. I'll never use you again. No, God is saying, hey, come on back to Bethel. I'll use you. I'll put you back in the bus ministry. I'll get you back on a bus route. I'll get you back in a Sunday school class. I'll get you back out on visitation. I'll put your family back together. I'll put joy back in your home. I'll do these things for you. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about eternity. That stuff is sealed. I'm talking about God saying, I'll take care of you. That communion, that covenant. And then last, I see there was a revival of commitment. Look at verse 14. It says, and Jacob set up a pillar. See, that's a commitment. A pillar, it's a stone. It's something that's permanent. Jacob set up a pillar. And it says, in the place where he talked with him, and even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. Say, what's that mean? I believe Jacob renewed or revived his commitment to God. You see, Jacob put a pillar in chapter 28 to God. I read it to you a little while ago. Last verse in chapter 28, Jacob set up a pillar to the Lord. He said, God, if you'll do this, I'm going to set up this pillar. And when I come back here, I'm going to give a tenth of everything to you, God. I'm going to serve you. And now here Jacob is, full circle. He's back at Bethel, and Jacob sets up a pillar to exemplify his commitment to his decision or his consecration. He sets up a pillar. He wants to show that it's permanent. And then he pours out that oil. You say, what is that? I really believe this. I believe Jacob was pouring out the oil. It was a picture of Jacob offering his life to God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 17, Paul said this. He said, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. You know what Paul was saying? Here's Paul was saying, if I be poured out for you, I rejoice. I believe Jacob was pouring out his life to God, saying, God, I want to serve you. I'm committed. I'm consecrated. God, I want to live for you. Maybe someone this morning needs a reviving or renewing. Maybe somebody needs to just get back to Bethel. Say, Brother David, I've never been to Bethel. Maybe you need to have an experience with God. See, you can't go back somewhere you've never been. If you've never been saved, you've never been there. You need to get born again. We'll have heads bowed, eyes closed.